On the afternoon of 20th November 1952, a small group of people milled around a canyon outside Desert Center, California. Led by the self-styled Professor George Adamski, the group came to this isolated spot, halfway between Palm Springs and the Arizona border, to photograph flying saucers. Among them was 25-year-old George Hunt Williamson, an ex-military man, an amateur archaeologist. 61-year-old Professor Adamski set up a telescope and waited for the alien craft to appear. And he wasn't disappointed. He claimed not only to see various spacecraft, but also to meet a real, live Venusian named Orthon. Only Adamski witnessed the visitation. But his young helper, Williamson, took plaster casts of desert footprints that revealed cryptic symbols on the soles of his shoes. Adamski recounted the experience in his book, Flying Saucers Have Landed, and he became a leading figure in the so-called golden age of UFOs. Incidentally, 1952 was also the year that the Air Force started its longest and most serious study of the UFO phenomenon, Project Blue Book. The most interesting and mysterious person at Desert Center, however, was George Hunt Williamson. He was no run-of-the-mill nut in a tinfoil hat. Maybe the first thing to understand about George Hunt Williamson is that he was born in Chicago under the name of George Leonard Williamson, and during his lifetime, he would assume various identities. Drafted into the U.S. Army Air Corps in 1945, Williamson was assigned to public relations. And coincidentally or not, Air Force PR personnel later played prominent roles in investigating and debunking UFO sightings. After leaving the military, Williamson relocated to Arizona to attend the University of Arizona in pursuit of a graduate degree in archaeology. That same year, he also traveled to Lincoln County, New Mexico, about an hour west of Roswell, to work on an archaeological dig, or so he claimed. Only 2 years earlier, Roswell had been the site of probably the first and most controversial reported UFO crash. So was Williamson hunting for Indian artifacts or something else? I should add that Williamson was briefly recalled to U.S. military service in 1949 and received a second lieutenant's commission. Later, he also received a commission in the newly christened Air Force's civilian auxiliary, the Civil Air Patrol, becoming a lieutenant colonel. Williamson's academic studies came to a halt in 1951 when he was expelled from the university for unspecified reasons. In the meantime, he'd picked up a wife, Betty, who became his enthusiastic assistant. Professor George Adamski, meanwhile, first arrived in Southern California during the 1920s. When a hoped-for movie career didn't pan out, he opted to form a cult. This was the Royal Order of Tibet, also known as the Temple of Scientific Philosophy. Really, it was a thinly disguised ripoff of an older mystical school called the Theosophical Society. That blended Eastern and Western mysticism and pioneered what we now call the New Age movement. Adamski dispensed timeless wisdom for a modest fee. But the real secret of his success was the religious exemption that the Royal Order of Tibet received to make and serve wine at its gatherings. After all, these were America's prohibition years. Repeal in December 1933 spelled doom for Adamski's booze-dispensing Temple of Scientific Philosophy. So by 1940, he was flipping burgers at a little roadside cafe at the foot of Mount Palomar. Adamski had no connection to the observatory there, but he tried hard to give the impression that he did. He set up a couple of telescopes and gave lectures to gullible tourists. When flying saucers became the rage, Adamski started snapping photographs of mysterious airborne objects. That attracted a small band of followers, including George Hunt Williamson. Still, I wonder if it was mere curiosity that brought Williamson to Desert Center that day in 1952. Maybe the Army Air Corps veteran was there on someone else's orders to check out Adamski and his group. In any event, Williamson went on to publish his own book, The Saucers Speak, and its sequel, Other Tongues, Other Flesh. Around this time, Williamson also showed up on the radar of FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. The FBI was concerned that some of the alien visitors reported by UFO enthusiasts preached universal brotherhood and nuclear disarmament. It raised suspicions that this flying saucer business might be an insidious commie plot. The FBI, in investigating Williamson, soon turned up evidence that he was involved in smuggling antiquities, and maybe drugs, out of Mexico. Still, the feds never touched him. And maybe that's related to those national security redactions in his file. Not long afterward, Williamson gathered up Betty and headed off to Peru. There, calling himself Brother Philip, he claimed to represent a secret order called the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays. Was this a genuine spiritual quest or more cover? If running an esoteric monastery in the Andes was what Williamson was really up to, it proved difficult. In 1958, Betty died of fever and malnutrition, though rumors circulated that she'd been pushed off a cliff. Soon after, Williamson started calling himself Michel Dobrinovich. Now, in addition to claiming to be the Duke of Sumadia, he also purported to be the heir to the throne of Serbia. And that wasn't the half of it. Dobrinovich, joined a bogus offshoot of the Knights of Malta, headquartered in Shikshinny, Pennsylvania. Its ranks were filled with aging fascists and retired military and intelligence officers. A few years later, in the early 1970s, Dobrinovich was consecrated as a bishop in the obscure American Orthodox Catholic Church, an outfit with more links to intelligence circles. And he relocated to Santa Barbara, California. There he founded his own religious order called the Holy Apostolic Catholic Church. And he briefly married a former B-movie actress. At the time, I was a history graduate student at UC Santa Barbara and once met the former George Hunt Williamson. I don't recall much about the encounter, but the person who introduced us was a retired Air Force colonel of all things. Standing back and looking at the strange career of George Hunt Williamson, I can't help but suspect that he was a spy of some sort. The only question is, whose?